just read from Matthew's Gospel. There's so much we can talk about on Easter Sunday, isn't there? And it's no different really to what we talk about every day. Because the reality of Easter should be the reality of our daily life. Do you believe that? It should be the reality of our daily life. So I want to bring your thoughts a little bit towards the Easter story. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. That would be that's an experience, isn't it? I'll tell you, when God does something with such magnitude of what took place, anything can happen. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen, as he said. He says, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Is that account, one of the accounts of the resurrection of Jesus, or the Easter story, where his friends, family, and those close to him went to find this tomb? It's like an account of the most significant event in history. So significant. The realization of what had been just promised was now fulfilled. Was being fulfilled. Isn't that amazing? You know, we live 2,000 years on, but those who were there at that time, they were just living in hope. And their hope, if you like, had been disappeared a few days earlier. After what had seemed the darkest day, when all that had been hoped for was lost, the confusion and the way their minds were working must have been all over the place. We know that those the two disciples that met Jesus as he walked on the Emmaus Road, you know, as in talking to him, not realizing who he was, said, "In him we had hoped." And they were going home to carry on life as it were before they'd ever met Jesus. We finished Friday service here with Sunday's coming. And of course it's here. But it's here every day, isn't it? Can you imagine what it must have been like for those who had put their hope in Jesus? They'd go into this tomb to perform what they would have performed, expecting his body to be there. And they were going, really, I guess, to make a bad situation okay. Make the best of it. Because natural death is pretty final, isn't it? Is it pretty final? You know, that's it. Go back to read from verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week had begun to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. Behold, there was this great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His countenance was like the lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook with fear for him and became like dead men. Of course, the stone didn't need to be rolled out of the way to let Jesus out. Sometimes we imagine him like being like Lazarus, walks out of the tomb. No, the stone didn't have to be rolled away to let Jesus out. We know that from John chapter 20 and verse 19, where it says, the same day, that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." So Jesus didn't need doors to be opened for him. Sometimes we wish we could do that sort of thing, don't you? But the tomb door, the tombstone had to be rolled away to let his followers in to see that the tomb was empty. It says they could see where he had been, but could see that he wasn't there. How confusing for them. So where was he? Where is he? See, they had witnessed the earth trembling, the intense light, these frozen, like with fear, guards. The stone was rolled away, but Jesus wasn't. He didn't leave. Something had happened. Something had happened that the agents of sin, if you like, couldn't cope with. You know, there's this thundering. These guards are falling like dead men, paralyzed. Colossians 2 and verse 15 says, see, this wasn't a good day for the devil. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. This wasn't some magic trick where someone gets put in a box and whatever they do, and then the person appears not to be in the box. This wasn't some conspiracy theory. Of course, there wasn't any CCTV to check it out and see, well, where did we miss something? He's gone. He's not there. Verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." Reminding them of this is Jesus who was crucified. Of course, crucifixion was a very significant part of this whole story. This whole event. It says he is not here. Why? Because he is risen. So he was crucified, but he is risen. And he said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." So the angel reminds them that the one who was in the tomb the one who they had been with when he previously a few days earlier had taken him there the one who was in the tomb who they'd seen placed in the tomb who they'd seen the stone placed on the entrance and seen the stone guarded he was risen. So he was the same one who was crucified. He was the same one who was dead. And he reminds them, the one who was crucified, dead and buried, is the same one who is not in the tomb. And that is because he's risen. He's fulfilling scripture. He's fulfilling prophecy. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Yes, he had risen. And we know what that means. But to them then, remember this is then, and to us, of course, we need to know now that he was more than just risen in the sense of coming back to life. It wasn't just a risen as in the sense that they may have thought of it as being risen. We know that in the Bible there's accounts of people who were dead and then were not dead. Think of Lazarus. He rose from dead. He was in a tomb. And Jesus calls to him and says, Lazarus, come forth, come out. So, well, he can't. How can we come out? Because he's been in the tomb. He's in the tomb. He's been dead for 4 days. How can he come out? And Jesus says, come out. And he did. So even death had to respond to the words of Jesus. When he said, come forth. But of course, Lazarus went on living as he had lived. And then he died at some point. Remember Elijah and the widow's son who died. And, you know, the widow had this, she had this son and he died. And she had, what's come about, you know, is death come to my house? And her son died. 1 Kings chapter 17, and he said to her in verse 19, give me your son. So she took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on this widow with whom I am lodged by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child 3 times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. So that child, you know, we know that God is able to bring people back from the dead. But they come back and they're the same as they were before they died, and now they're alive. And they go on and live their life, and at some point they naturally die. But you see, with Jesus, this was different. He was resurrected. The Bible says that the narrative says he's risen, but the reality is he's not just risen, he's resurrected. And there's a difference. Each of these was resurrected from death, was resuscitated, if you like, from death. But not one of them was resurrected. Each of them was raised in the same body that they died in. And raised again, but eventually died a natural death. See, resurrection isn't just living again. It's living again in a new body, based on your old body, but perfectly suited for life in eternity. It's different. It's not the same. It's not just living again. Jesus wasn't the first one brought back from the dead, but he was the first one resurrected. He's resurrected. This is resurrection. What we call it, Resurrection Sunday. We don't call it Risen Sunday. Resurrections, and Jesus still is risen or resurrected. He ascended into heaven and continues reigning as resurrected man, still fully man and still fully God. See, there's no grave where you will find Jesus. There's no grave anywhere where it says, here lieth Jesus. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. He was resurrected. There's no grave with his name on it. He is seated at the right hand of God. And the angel has to show them proof. He says, come see the place where the Lord lay. Come see the place where he lay. Come see it. Come experience it. Come see where they put him. They needed some sort of proof. He was here, but now he's not. And of course, he wasn't recognizable to them in his resurrected form. It's because of his death, burial, and resurrection that we can experience new life. Aren't you glad about that? That we can experience this new life because of his death, burial, and his resurrection. In his death, we are forgiven of our sins and we are raised together with him in newness of life. You see, resurrection life is different from resuscitated life. And many people confuse the two. We get confused with resurrected life and resuscitated life. And if we don't recognize it's resurrected life, we'll live our life as resuscitated life. See, I'm the same, but I'm a Christian. See, some of you don't recognize and realize and get a revelation of what actually took place. Death could not hold Jesus. Death couldn't hold him. And he comes back resurrected. So often, you see, if we don't understand it, we just live a life which is not a lot different to our old life. We just have the label of being a Christian. We have a home in heaven. But we don't experience the resurrection power which is available to us in the days in which we live. See, I'm a Christian. We say, but I'm not a lot different, or I'm the same, but I'm a Christian. Some people live their lives, and the people that they work with, the people they spend their life with, don't even know they're born again. Because their life is not a lot different. No, I died, and my life is hidden in Christ. I am a new creation. My old life went away. It's gone. My old life, I'm no longer who I used to be. I am a new creation. Yes, I'm living this life in the flesh, but I live it by faith in the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. I'm a new creation. I still live this life in the flesh, but with resurrection power. And that resurrection power we live in by faith. For by grace, we got saved through faith. We live it by faith. Romans 10 and verse 9 says that if we confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confessing that God raised him from the dead. He didn't just bring him back to life as he was. Jesus wasn't the same when he was resurrected as he was when he walked this earth. And we recognize that, and we walk in that, and we accept that. And that's one of the things that we recognize when we get baptized, or are buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. See, we were buried with him. We went through that. We recognize that. And that's one of the things that we are witnessing and bearing witness of when we get baptized. And signifying that we are buried with him and going through into those waters and being totally covered and if you like, dying, but then we are raised again in newness of life. Buried with him in baptism, in which also you were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And we accept that and we live in that and we come into that. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 that I might be found in him. I might be found in him. Verse 10 of Philippians 3, that I may know him. Paul has this desire to be in this place where he is knowing God, has a knowing and an understanding, but more than understanding, a revelation, knowledge, that I may know him. And then not only that I may know him, but I may know the power of his resurrection that becomes a reality to me. Not something that I just did on the shelf in my life, but it's a reality, the resurrection. Not that I know him and the power of just being resuscitated, but resurrection power and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. It says that I may know him. God is looking for a people and has a desire for a people and gave his life for a people that would know him. But not just know him, know the power of his resurrection and live in that. See, too often we just live in a place of just a little bit of a resuscitation. The same, but just but a new life in us. Now, wait, you're not the same. You have the resurrection life in you. You have the same power in you, the same life that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He didn't just find you back to just bring you back to his state of consciousness again. He filled you with his power. Resurrection power. That same power which raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you if it can do it. If he can do it for Jesus, do it for you, and we apply it to ourselves. That I may know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You're never going to have to suffer what Jesus suffered. Taking the weight and the price of the sin of the world. And you think you're suffering. You're going through a bit of a hard time sometimes, but come on. You know, just remember what Jesus went through. Just remember the price he paid for you. But come on. All the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen. And he was resurrected on the third day. And we are partakers of that. Paul says that I may know him. Paul wants us to, he says, that I may know him, but also that you may know him. See, there's a difference between knowing and knowing, isn't there? You can know someone because you have a knowledge of who they are. How many of you say, well, I know this person, I know that person, I know them. But you don't have a relationship with them. You don't have a knowing. There's a difference between knowing and knowing. So as I say, you can have a knowing of someone because you know, have a knowledge of who they are, but you can know someone in an intimate way or a two-way knowing. When I was a child, I remember reading the Bible or having the Bible read to me and it said something like, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and they had a son. Well, I thought, remember thinking, well, surely he would have known her because she was his wife. Why would he not know her? Until I got a better understanding of what the Bible means when it talks about knowing someone. So you can know someone because you have a knowledge. There's plenty of people who say they have a knowledge of God. Well, they have a knowledge of what Christ did on Good Friday, what we call Good Friday. Or they have a knowledge of what took place on Resurrection Sunday. Oh, yes, they know that. But is there a knowing, an intimacy of the two-way? See, in a knowing, there's a two-way communication, isn't there? That's a little bit different to just knowing. So you can say you know someone, they haven't got a clue who you are. God knows exactly who you are. And he wants you to know him. He wants you to have that intimate relationship with him. He wants you to have that relationship that says that you're part of him, as Paul says, that I might be found in him. So the knowing, of the intimacy relationship which we have, you know, has to be in this place where it's a decision we make. Christ has done everything for you, everything for me. The level in which I engage in that is my choice. It's my choice. It's your choice. And it's evident what our choices are by how we live our life. It's a decision. There has to be a mindset. Well, so set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. So you can set your mind on a resuscitated life, or you can set your mind on a resurrected life. It's a mindset. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, many people live their life as a Christian, but their life is not transformed. It is transformed positionally, but experientially, their life doesn't look a lot different. Or because they haven't set their mind. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good and perfect and accept the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So living in a place of resurrection power is a choice we make. Paul goes on and he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. This is Paul. Sometimes we would have thought, well, Paul, the apostle, would have had it all together. He says, no, I already got there, or I already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. When Jesus saw, God saw Paul, or Saul, as he was then on the road to Damascus, he saw him with purpose in mind. He saw him complete in him. He saw him as he intended him to be. And so Paul is saying, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also had laid hold of me. What God saw in me, what God sees in you, we have to choose to engage in. So Paul is pressing on. He's in a tough place, Paul. You know, for Paul to come to that place of fulfillment and completion, he recognized that martyrdom was pretty much a certainty for him. So I press on that I may lay hold of all that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of for me. You know, when Jesus hung on the cross and said, it is finished, he's saying, I've accomplished all that I came for the world, for me, for you. He paid a price. He paid a price. And that price was his life. And he paid that price because he saw you and he saw me. Bible says in Hebrews, oh, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, he despised the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God the Father because of what he saw. And so God, I believe, is looking for a people who get a knowing understanding of resurrection power. Not just something we remember and celebrate at Easter and think about at Easter, but it's a lifestyle we live. And so Paul says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of for me. You can't see half of what God has in mind for you. No, we can't see half of what God has in mind for us. But he saw something in you. It's like he saw something in you when he hung on the cross. He saw something in you when he hung on the cross. And he saw, you know, the purpose. The living in victory. Fulfillment of his promises over your life. And Paul the Apostle says, I press on. God is looking for people, I believe, in these days who are prepared to press on. Press in and press on to what God has for them, what God saw, the price he paid. When you pay a heavy price for something, you give a gift to somebody, you know, when your children are young, and you sacrifice something to do something for them, and then you do something, you give them something, and then they just treat it like it's nothing. Why don't you just look after what that cost? Do you know how much that cost me? You just left it there, just in this. Just think of what Christ, the price he paid for you, the price he paid for me. And God, church, God wants you living in that resurrection power. Because I press on that I may lay hold of all that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of. For me, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I tell you, sometimes we need to forget some stuff behind us. Forget some stuff behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And church, we can do it. Church, you can do it. Church, you can do it. Church, we can do it. Individuals, we can do it. Come on, come on, let's be a people who in this Easter season, in this season of resurrection, recognizing that something significant took place. It wasn't just an event in history. Something significant for you, for me, and for mankind. And to live in resurrection power, it has to be a choice. It's a choice we make. To be in that place where we're knowing Him, we're knowing the power of His resurrection. How many of you believe the power of resurrection? You believe the power of resurrection. How many of you want to be in that place where you are, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection? The power of His resurrection is manifest in your life. How many of you got areas in your life where you could do with seeing the manifestation of the power of resurrection? Not just to resuscitate, not just a little fan a bit of fresh air, blow a bit of oxygen on you and just get you going again. The resurrection power, a total transformation. Something that's going in one direction and looks dead is totally revived and looks like Jesus. Has anybody got something where they need to see the power of resurrection? If you have, stand on your feet this morning. Let's stand on your feet. We're going to just get the worship team back here. Those of them that are here in the building right now. Let's come and just worship for a moment. The children are going to come back up in just a moment. But before they come back and get excited about. They're already on their way, I think. I see a bunch of people who need to see the power of resurrection working in their lives. See it a reality. For some of you, it's provision. For some of you, it's relationships. For some of you, it's health. For some of you, it's just something coming into order. The power of resurrection. Resurrection power. See, it's not a power like just get you through the next stage of life. It's life-changing. It's life-changing that we may know Him. Father, as our hearts cry this morning, that we be a people who know You. If we don't just have, we choose not to just have a casual relationship with You, but a knowing of You and a knowing of the power of Your resurrection. That You walked free from the power of death. Resurrection power. Just raise your hands where you are. I know some of your situations. I don't know all your situations. Of course I don't. But you got things going on in your lives right now. Things that are causing you to hurt. Things that are causing you to be confused. Things that are causing you heartache. Areas of sickness. Death lost its sting on that first Easter. Those guards at the tomb saw something that caused them to freeze with fear. Church, the devil had a bad day. Come on, let's be a people who choose to live in the power of resurrection. Don't give the enemy a foothold. Make a choice. Or that I may know Him. Father, I pray that there be a knowing of the resurrection power. We receive it by faith this morning. Just worship Jesus where we are. Just worship Him.